Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to the Whole Lamb of God broadcast on today, featuring the prelate and visionary of Shofars for Glory, Prophet Yehoshua Brown. Please visit our website at www.shofarsforglory.org. Feel free to sign up for our mailing list so that you'll be informed of any events that are going on. Again, that website is shofarsofglory.org. If you're in need of prophetic counseling, life coaching, have any questions on the Bible, you can email us at info@shofarsofglory.org. Again, that's info@shofarsofglory.org. We have Wail and Travail morning prayer at 5 a.m. every Monday through Sabbath. That number is 218-632-0752. Again, that's 218-632-0752. And the access code is 7777#. And without further ado, the prelate and visionary of Shofars of Glory, Prophet Yehoshua Brown.
Grace and peace be multiplied unto you into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the Father of lights, the God of heaven and earth, the Most High God, Yehovah, Yahweh, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Elohim, El Olam, El Barak, El Roi, El Hasim. We greet you, Shalom, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I count it a blessing to be before you today. We're not going to mess around. We're going to go into opening prayer, and we sanctify these lines. Let the Holy Ghost do what it do. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, let the word of meditation of my heart be guided by the Holy Spirit, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that you stretch out in me, Lord God. Give me the word that I may minister to the needs of your King God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to saturate these lines, Lord God, annihilate everything ungodly, Lord God. Whether it be iPhones, Android, Samsungs, God, Lord God, laptops, Lord God, desktops, Lord God, whatever means they are listening, God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you bring up the fallow ground, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, that the hammer of the word of God may go forth, Lord God, that prophetic teaching may go forth, that revelatory knowledge may be made manifest, God, through the understanding of your prophet, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. These are your sheep, God, who you purchased with the shedding of your only begotten Son's blood. So, Lord God, I decrease that the Spirit of God may increase. I take all emotional ties out the way, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I yield myself as a vassal, God, as a vessel, Lord God, holy and acceptable before you, that may you may accomplish your divine will, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the church say amen. Let the assembly say amen. Let the ecclesia say amen. Let the body of Christ say amen. Okay. Amen. We're coming from Matthew chapter 16. Amen. Been a long time. Amen. Feel good. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 is talking about the king and his kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, Matthew chapter 16. I'll give you some time to get there. Now, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? So here you have it, amen. The Pharisees, amen, came with the Sadducees. Both of them, amen. Both of them are religious leaders, amen. The Pharisees, they believed in the Spirit of God and they believe in the resurrection on the day of judgment. But the Sadducees did not believe in any of those things, and they was bonded by a common belief, amen, by a common goal of taking down the Son of God. they're trying to discredit his ministry. And so they came tempting him. They didn't want a sign that would glorify God. They desired a sign because they didn't believe that he was sent by God. And even though they saw he did many things, amen, but they was convinced in their fixed way of thinking, amen, that this man did things by the spirit of Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. They was convinced that everything that he was doing, that there was a devil somewhere helping him. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to understand, amen, in this hour, amen, there going to be some folk, amen, who ain't sold on who you are. You've got to know in the name of Jesus Christ, in this very hour, in this end time, amen, they're going to come Pharisaical and Sadduceical leaders, amen. They're going to come to you, and they're going to desire, amen, if you are who you said you are, not what God said, but if you are who you said you are, I desire a sign from heaven. I want heaven to tell me who you are in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he said something very key. He said, listen, basically, you can look at the sky and you can weather forecast. You can tell me that the evening is going to be fair weather. You can tell me in the morning that it's going to rain today. But you are a hypocrite because, matter of fact, hypocrite is translated in the Greek as being a play actor. And you play acting like you're very sensitive in the spirit and that you can discern what God is doing and saying right now, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You cannot discern what God is saying right now. There's a difference between what God has said in his word in the Logos and what God is saying now in the expression of his rhema. And so Jesus said, you know, you got your garments on and you got the collars on, and that's cool, but you ain't got no word from me. I find it very funny in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, that we got a lot of people hearing from God, amen, but you don't have a different word every day, amen. This is why, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do 5 a.m. prayer, amen, because we believe when we get up in the morning that God has something different to say. And God is almighty, and God is all-knowing, and he is a foreknowing, amen, and God knows what is going to happen before it happens, amen. God knows what you need for your day before your day ever starts out. And Jesus saying, you can tell me what the weather's saying, amen, before the rain get here, but you cannot tell me what the Spirit of God is saying before trouble get here. And you can't even discern the time. And Jesus said in verse 4 and 5, he says, amen, a wicked and adulterous generation seek it after a sign. And so the Bible declares that people who run after signs, prophetic signs, and run after God proving himself over and over again, let me tell you something. You being saved right now should be all the signs that you need from God. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Are you listening? Amen. Are you listening? Amen. You being saved was the first sign that God ever did in your life. Amen. Yeah, you was too young to understand when you was born. Amen. But when God saved your soul and brought you from the darkness to the marvelous light, that was all the sign that you needed that there is a God. Amen. When you opened your eyes also, amen, if you want me to go way back before that, amen, when you go outside and you look up at the sky and you see this thing called a sun that hangs in the sky, amen, without the assistance of any mechanical structure, when you see that in the sky, you should know that it is a God. When you see water, amen, that is a liquid, it can be a liquid, it can be steam, and it can be a solid, three different manifestations, but yet still be called original-based water, you should know that there's a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost. When you look at that same sun, amen, and you feel the ultraviolet rays, and you see the sun, and you can feel the effects, but then you can't see the ultra-ray visions, you should know that there's a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, people seeking after a sign now. We know that we're in the last days because we got prophetic junkies running around everywhere, amen, chasing a prophetic word. Tell me I'm great, God. Tell me I'm still in the will, God. And God said, if you're being obedient to me, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you know you're keeping my commandments, if you know, amen, you're walking upright before me, you don't need no apostle, a prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher to come along and tell you, amen, that you are in the will. You should wake up in the morning and know, by God, I'm standing for something. You should wake up in the morning, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, and know that you're living for something. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. Why are you seeking after a sign this morning? the mysteries of the kingdom of God is simply, listen, no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What is the sign of a prophet Jonah? The sign of the prophet Jonah is more than just going down and spending 3 nights in a whale, amen, because I really didn't want to preach to Nineveh. But let me tell you something. Jesus felt just like Jonah, amen. Let me tell you something. There was nothing about us that made the nature of man that wanted to save us, amen. Amen. Jesus, amen, did not even want to go to the cross, amen. His spirit, man, was a kind of a joy to go to the cross. But his physical man, amen, had second thoughts, amen. He prayed in the garden, amen. He said, if you could take this cup away from me, and not as I will, because if I had a choice, I wouldn't really do it like that, amen. If I had a choice for these folk, God, amen, I really wouldn't do it, amen. But because you're on the inside of me, and I don't have no control over my body, amen, and that you put me on like some kind of suit, amen, and that you're walking me out in the course of life, and I'm going to do exactly what you purposed me to do in planet Earth, amen, I'm going to carry it out. This is why Paul says the spirit is willing, but the flesh, oh God, the flesh is weak. The spirit of who you are is willing, but the clothes that you wear, amen, they are weak, amen. Yeah, they can easily catch on fire if you go by something flammable, amen, or something that is on fire, amen. It's easy to get wet and get torn up and get made a mess, amen, because you're willing to go, amen, but that which you got on is weak. Spiritual beings, amen, passing through a carnal world, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is in need of a move of God, that is in need of a revival, that is in need of restoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, there are those that are seeking after a sign, the sign of Jonah, amen. And Jonah had to die in that whale in order to get back up and manifest the will of God for his life. Immediately out of that well, Jonah went forth preaching in purpose and power. Immediately out the grave, Jesus Christ did the same thing. Preached with purpose and power. Hallelujah. But the only difference is, amen, Jesus didn't sit by no tree waiting for the destruction of people. Jesus, on the other hand, amen, he waited on the right-hand side of the Father, waiting for people to get filled with the Holy Ghost and shake off the old wine and shake off the old skin and rise up and resurrect according to their purpose. Jesus said in verse 5, when his disciples would come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And they're just like us, amen. We go someplace and we forget to take Jesus with us, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. 4th of July, amen. Family come over and now you forget what kind of person you are. You forget that you're even saved, amen. You forget that, amen, that you're set free and delivered, amen. In time you get around some unsaved family folk, amen, you forgot that you are on fire for God. You forgot, amen, that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. You forgot, amen, that the light, amen, on the hill is easily hidden, amen. That no man take a light and hide it up underneath his bed. Nobody takes a light and hide it underneath his bed. And these apostles, these disciples, they forgotten to take bread, amen. Oh, God, they forgot to take communion, amen. They forgot to take Jesus with them, amen. The bread of heaven, amen. Have you forgotten to take the bread with you on this morning? Have you forgotten? In the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That is a twofold dimensional word. Because Jesus said, I want you to be on the lookout for the doctrine of those Pharisaical, Sadduceical teachers. I want you to be on the lookout. Now, in chapter 16, you're going to see some of the peaks of divine doctrine. And some of these points are Peter's confession regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, where him and Jesus have a talk, and the Lord's revelation concerning his church later on in Scripture, and the Lord's declaration concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. One thing about Jesus, amen, he spoke clearly and openly about his death. He always shared a testimony about a future dying process. Oh, God. Oh, God. Are you conscious of your dying process? Are you conscious this morning about your dying process? Are you conscious that you have got to die to live?
And you conscious that you have to shed something off to put on something, God, new. In the name of Jesus Christ, are you conscious of this thing this morning in the name of Jesus Christ? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And finally, we got to know that the cost of discipleship. In this chapter, in the mysteries of the kingdom of God in Matthew 16, we learn about the instructions concerning the cost of discipleship. There is a cost of being a disciple, amen, of a teacher. There is a cost of saying yes. There is a cost, amen, to being a follower, amen. Not many people want to follow because they look at following a leader, amen, as something that is humiliating, amen. And I don't have no control, and I got to trust somebody with my destiny and purpose. And if you don't never follow, you ain't gonna never be a leader. Oh God, help me, Jesus. If you don't never follow nobody, greatness is gonna run away from you. Oh God, oh God, oh God. If you never follow anybody, success ain't gonna get acquainted with you. Because in order for success to get acquainted with you, you got to follow somebody. Oh, God, and Jesus, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus, amen. He said, amen, I'm going to imitate Christ, amen. So as you see me imitate Christ in this particular apostolic dimension that God has set me in, then I want you, amen, to imitate Christ right along with me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bekalamashando. And another thing that we find in chapter 16 is that it's going to be a journey to traveling down the valley of human deprivation and skepticism. What does that mean? Well, simply, Jesus is going to rebuke those religious leaders for their wickedness and unbelief, those same Pharisees and Sadducees. And then we're going to find in chapter 16 that he's going to rebuke his disciples for their carnality and their lack of faith. Oh, Jesus. And yet, the leader out of this fine, great group of young men, Simon Peter, for being used as the mouthpiece of Satan. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. It's going to be a long one. Oh, Jesus. One thing we see as we go back over what we read so far, we know that the Pharisees and Sadducees were opposed to one another, but they united to come against Jesus. And the same thing happened in Acts chapter 23, verse 6 through 8. You can write it in your notes. In that particular story, you don't have to turn there, but they came against Paul the same way. They came against Paul the same way, but Paul, apostolically, he was wise. He said, listen, I was born a Pharisee, and I'm a Pharisee, and I was born a Pharisee. And they said, wait a minute. This man here is innocent. He one of us. And the Pharisees said, no. Oh, no. He innocent because you don't want to be found guilty fighting against the Spirit of God. No. You got to let this man go. Because he said, I'm a Pharisee. Paul was lacking a lot of things in his doctrine, amen, but he believed in the moving of the Spirit. He believed in the resurrection. He just had to get out of the old covenant into the newness. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. They were all able, with what God provided them, to know what would happen. Looking at the weather, looking at everything that was going on outside, but they could not know the move of the Spirit. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 6 and verse 7, it says, take heed in the way of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of their doctrine, because they will try to indoctrinate you to pull you away from truth. In order to get a person off of the lamb and to goat, at first you got to be indoctrinated with goat. You first have to be given goat milk first. See, to be indoctrinated into a lie, it all starts off as just you automatically on goat. No, first you on goat milk before you eat goat meat. It starts by somebody saying something to you and challenging you on something. It starts by somebody saying, are you sure the Bible say that? No, this is what it really mean. No, but you only got one scripture. But see, anything that God says, he says in the word. He backs up in his word. And I think that's what people have a hard time understanding about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Jesus never came and said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then he'll come and say, nah, you ain't got to repent. You ain't got to look for no kingdom. You ain't got to tap into an inner working power that's greater than you. You ain't got to tap in. Jesus said, no, you got to repent and tap in, because the kingdom of God cometh not without observation. Stay with me. Now, They said, we have taken no bread. Carnality. Carnality. A person that don't want to take the bread of life, they operate in carnality. In other words, if you don't want to operate in the bread of life, you don't want to operate in the, from the book of life. And when you do that, you're operating in carnality. No matter how many scriptures we know, we still crack open the bread of life. The bread of life. It is the life-giving word. Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they reason among themselves, say, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, and he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason among yourselves, because you have brought no bread. Now, these people have been with Jesus. They've seen great exploits, and they should have great faith. But now, they have little faith. Now, as I go back in my Bible and scan of the chapters, Jesus so far had preached the Sermon on the Mount. He healed a leper. The daughter, amen, got up. He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And I mean, the two blind men, blind Bartimaeus, the rich young ruler. He even sent them out teaching in synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He ordained them as apostles, and so on and so on. So these men have no reason why they shouldn't believe in Jesus. But yet they're sitting here, and they're doubting the resurrecting power of God. And he said, ye of little faith. Now, these men at the time, they were capable of being spiritual giants, but in other times, they were spiritual dwarfs. Do you know people like that? Times they try to come across as giants, but they're really dwarfs. They talk giant talk, but really, they got a dwarf walk. They got a dwarf walk. Just like other men in Scripture. Watch this. Abraham at times, he demonstrated great faith. That's why he called our father the faith. Then there were other times he was just playing scared. He said, no, he told his wife, said, no, you go ahead, honey, and tell him I'm you know, we brothers and sisters. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then Jacob sent his wife and kids ahead of him. While he went back, amen, so Esau could have killed his wife and kids. Prophet, amen. But at that moment, he was the scared one. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Let's continue on. He said, because you have brought no bread, do you not understand, neither remember, the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Jesus said, and neither the seven loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Now, they've seen thousands of people getting transformed by the glory of God. They've seen thousands of people's lives impacted by the power of the kingdom. But yet, in this critical time, they cannot trust God for themselves. Are you having a problem trusting God right now in your life? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Hold up. So Jesus said, have you got bread? In other words, do you have the truth? Oh, God, do you have the truth? This is what Jesus is saying. He said, yeah, it's not about the physical bread that you didn't bring me, but I'm asking you, do you possess the truth? Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You can't walk around being free. You can't wake up knowing that you're free if you don't have the truth. If you don't have the truth. He said, the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, you got to be mindful of other folk doctrine in this hour. You got to be mindful of all of that teaching that don't line up with the word of God. Amen. Folk talk about Jezebel spirit, that a man could be have a Jezebel spirit. That stuff ain't even scripture. And John, Apostle John in the book of Revelation cleared that up. About the woman that called herself Jezebel, amen. And Jezebel was dead thousands of years. He was talking about a spirit that latches itself onto a female. A rebellious female bursts out a spirit. She has a Jezebel spirit that bursts out a spirit of Ahab. But we got this teaching talking about a man could be a Jezebel. Have you ever heard a woman say a woman could be an Ahab? Uh-oh. I don't hear you this morning. See, false doctrine, false teaching that don't add up with the Bible. But it sounds good. We cannot allow the spirit of the enemy to turn God's house into a sorority or to a fraternity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not a race thing. It's a spirit thing. is not male chauvinism. It's a spirit thing. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. So know that. Jesus said in verse 13, he said, and this deals with confession. The law question is regarding man's opinion. Now, we're not opinionated, but he says, who do men say that I am? That I, the Son of Man, is. And the Son of Man is his position, amen, in regards to Israel and his revelation of Israel. Because Israel was the son of God. Israel was one of the first sons of God. Yeah. I called my son out of what? Egypt. When God said that the second time, that was Jesus. When he said it the first time, he was talking about Israel, his people. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Who do men say that I am? He said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, the prophet, amen. Some say he was John the Baptist, amen, because they counted John as a prophet, amen. They acknowledged John more than they acknowledged Jesus. They knew John was from God, amen, because John was a writer. He said Elijah, amen, because he was taken up to heaven. And they said Jeremiah, amen, watch this. Jeremiah was a prophet to the nations. Well, watch this. He never went to the nations. Uh-oh, I don't hear you. You could be a prophet to the nations, and you can miss your assignment and never get to the nations. You can miss your connection and never get to the nations. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can miss your discipleship and never get to the nations. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Think about that. He said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon had a revelation. He had a revelation. He said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, you are the Son of God. You are the one that is supposed to come into this world. You are the one, amen, that come to blot out the sins of man. Yeah, you the one, amen, that John testified of the Lamb of God. How did Peter figure this thing out? He figured it out. Because John, not the Revelator, but John the Baptist, he revealed the Lord's ministry to Israel. Watch this. You need somebody to co-sign who you are. I don't need nobody to validate you. Shut up. Be childish. Hold up. You need somebody. Jesus needed John. John's been preaching for years. John was preaching for years. But John didn't understand. He said, wait a minute. You should be baptized in me. No, Jesus said, no. You don't understand. This is bigger than both of us. We're going to do so now to fulfill all righteousness, because if you don't baptize me, I'm going to be out of order. And how am I going to be the Messiah and I'm out of order? Oh, God. How am I going to be without sin and I just committed a sin and now the cross can't get accomplished? Oh, you ain't saying nothing. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, you need somebody to forerun you. You need a forerunner. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. When you go, oh, I don't want to go here, but I'm going to go with the Holy Ghost. People don't want to have a forerunner. Folks don't want to be followers. They don't want to follow a forerunner. If you don't follow a forerunner, your ministry will never go where it needs to go. Watch this. The wise men would have never found Jesus if they didn't follow that star that was prophesied in the book of Numbers. A star shall arise out of Jacob. If they didn't never follow that star, then it would have never brought them to the Messiah. Oh, you ain't saying nothing. If the people would never follow the law, it would have never been the schoolmaster in the book of Galatians that brought them to Christ. Okay, let's stay right there. Let's go to Galatians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise the name of Jesus. We thank God for the Lamb of God. We're going to the book of Galatians. Okay. Now watch this. Ba-ba-ba, Sunda. Now, Galatians chapter 3, it says, we're going to work this thing. Verse 22. But the scripture had concluded, all understand that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ may be given to them that believe. 23. But before faith came, we were kept what? Under the law. Up until the faith which should be afterwards be revealed. Okay. So
somebody asked me a question yesterday, and I think they tried to have an argument, and I discerned that, so I quickly took myself out of the equation. They asked me, says, are we still underneath the, why do people try to live underneath the old covenant? And I said, living under the old covenant and trying to live under the law is two different things. Trying to live under the old covenant and living under the law is two different things. Okay? You can't live underneath the old covenant if you try. Because the old covenant has been done away. That covenant was established in the book of Exodus when Moses, amen, the blood on the people and put the blood on the book, and they said, we will be obedient to Jehovah. Okay? But now when Christ came and shed his blood on Calvary, the old has been done away. You can't go back to the old. See, religious folks got it wrong. Oh, you're going back underneath the old covenant. Baby, you can't go back underneath the old covenant if you try. That's scripture. You can't go back underneath the old covenant because the old covenant has been done away. We're now underneath the new covenant, whether you try to go back to the old covenant or not. Now, concerning the law, Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. So has the law done away? He said no. He said heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of the law. So the law has not been done away. But God, Jesus came to teach the spiritual principles of what the law really is. So instead of you trying to work to establish righteousness under the law, you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and now you're not underneath the law. You are in grace, and grace will take you in Christ Jesus and put you above the law. So now, Romans 13, I believe it says, love, by love you fulfill the law. Let's go to Romans. Hold on. Now, we can say in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3, that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay? So we're no longer underneath the law. Let's teach this thing. We're no longer underneath the law. Okay? Okay. If we're not no longer underneath the law, then why do we need the law? And see, when you get this down pat, you'll understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. When you understand this, then when you get to the kingdom, see, a lot of you are stumbling at the law still. You're still stumbling at the law. And by you stumbling at the law, you're never going to understand grace. You're never going to understand the kingdom. You can't understand church until you get this whole law thing settled in your spirit. And that will help you figure out on your journey of who you are. Okay? Watch this. Romans chapter 13, verse 7, it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whose custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that love another hath fulfilled the law. He that love another hath fulfilled the law. Watch this. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill will to his neighbor, therefore love is the what? Fulfilling of the law. Wait a minute. Okay, so hold on. So now when Paul says, let's tie this thing up. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, okay? All right, so let's work on this. Teach, Holy Ghost. So now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, yeah, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Wait a minute. So if I have no charity, charity is love, translated as love. Yeah, though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith like a mountain, if I have not, let's say love, charity, which is love, I'm nothing. Okay, why? Because love fulfills the law. Okay? Love fulfills the law. What is the law? What exactly is the ingredients of the law? The ingredients of the law makes up the divine nature of who God is.
gifts, all those laws and ordinances, those are the ingredients of who God is. That's why man could not keep the law, because there was nothing in man that was holy. But now man has something on the inside that is holy. Paul said, yo, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So now you got the Holy Ghost, which is what? The Spirit of God, which is what? The indwelling Christ, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if Christ be in you, wait a minute. Jesus said, I ain't come to do away with the law. I come to what? Fulfill the law. So how we in Romans, Paul said, if we love one another, we're fulfilling the law. Well, how is that possible? Because I got Jesus Christ on the inside of me. Yeah. Well, that ain't right. Oh, yeah? Book of Romans told me I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. Okay, watch this. I'm a son of God. The Spirit of God that dwell between the two cherubs, the Shekinah glory, was in the temple, which is the synagogue. Synagogue became a son of God. Stay with me. The synagogue became the son of God. Let's get out of theology for a minute. Let's get to Rhema. Let's get you free. Amen. Let's get you free. Okay, watch this. There's so much, amen. Okay, watch this. Romans chapter 8 says, okay, watch this. Romans chapter 8. Now, I taught a little bit of this at the prophetic gathering, okay? But let me give you a different dimension. Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. Watch this. Okay, the law was grievous. The law was grievous. Well, Christ came along and made you free from the law. How you made you free from the law? Because the Spirit of God makes you free. It liberates you. He said, if you take on wings as an eagle, he said, they are waiting upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They are mounted on wings as eagle. Okay, the Spirit of God gives you wings like an eagle. Now you can fly above the law. Oh, God, you ain't saying nothing. Okay, you can fly above the law. You can rise above the law. Why? How can I rise above the law? Because it ain't you. It's Christ in you. Flesh can't rise above the law. Watch this. Without the Spirit of God, you ain't had no wings. But then God came along and said, yeah. See, God said, wait a minute. As the eagle stirred her nest. See, God said, I'm the eagle. I was stirring you in my nest. But now I've given you your own set of wings. You didn't have wings to fly under the law. God was the eagle to stir the nest. Okay? You didn't have wings. But now the Spirit of God has given you wings. Oh, God. For the law could not do it in that which was weak through the flesh. God sent his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in what? Us. Verse 4 of Romans chapter 8. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? Us. Wait a minute. The righteousness, the righteous requirements of the law are fulfilled in us. Wait a minute. I thought we're sinful and nobody can keep the law. It ain't you. It's in you to keep the law. Who's in you? The Spirit of God. There you go. The Spirit of God. Now, for my lovely listeners, let's say, girl, you doing that? You under bondage. You going back underneath the law. Baby, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can't go back underneath the law either if you wanted to. Let's go to Galatians. They had this problem in the book of Galatians too, the Galatian church. Now, you can fall away from grace because you're not willing to accept the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're not willing to accept what has already been paid for you. And when you don't accept what's been paid for you, you've fallen from grace. And that's false humility because you're going to try to establish your own self-righteousness. Oh, God. Lebo rabba shandara rabosha. Oh, God. We're going to the book of Galatians. Loko rabashanda da raboshata. Bebobo rabashanda. Okay, Galatians chapter 3. God has shifted us, as you can see. God want to say something to somebody who's listening. Okay.
Watch this. Okay. Go to Galatians chapter 2. We gotta straighten this out. Because there's some folk who are getting tripped up in their doctrine. Okay? Galatians chapter 2, verses 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Okay? You can't justify the law by trying to work the law. Okay? Okay? Trying to work the law. Okay? God told me to keep the Sabbath. I can't leave home. I can't go to work. Okay? I can't go to work. I can't do this. I can't do that. Baby, you're not satisfied in the law. You're trying to work it. See, when God told you to rest on the Sabbath, he didn't tell you not to do nothing. He said, allow your spirit, man, to rest in the place. Oh, God. In the Hebrews, the Hebrew writer said there is a rest for the people of God. Rest means to rest in the law, that the work is finished. Don't work. Don't try to work the law. Rest. That's what it means. Rest. Oh, stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Okay, watch this. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So faith, you don't work faith, you work your faith. Faith without works is dead. You got to learn how to work your faith. And let your faith work for you. See, the glory of God will allow your faith to work for you. When you're just operating in oil, you will work your faith. But when you operate in the glory of God, the glory will allow your faith to work for you. Please write that down. We have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of law. Okay, you can't be justified working the law. We established that. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Sin? God forbid it. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself what? A transgressor. Okay. For though the law am dead to sin, dead to the law. For though the law, through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I may live unto God. So the law got us to the kingdom. Watch this. The law has gotten us to the kingdom. So now back in Matthew, because we're going to go back to the kingdom. I want to show you how this ties into the kingdom. The law tells us, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, that is a part of the commandments, right? But if you had the Holy Ghost, when you read that, you would have seen that the sin is not in committing adultery, but the sin is where you put your eyes on. Oh, God. Oh, God. See, we didn't have the Holy Ghost in the law. You didn't have the Holy Ghost to have, you ain't had access to Rhema. You didn't have access to Rhema. So we was looking at the law. We were looking at the logos, but not having access to Rhema. That's why the Bible says the letter killeth. Oh, Jesus. Okay? The spirit is a quickening. Come on now. He said, you have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever look on a woman to lust after her had committed what? Adultery with her already in his heart. Oh, God. So if you look at magazines, you done committed sin. Okay. You're lusting on them videos. Okay. You done committed sin. Okay. You know, she walked past you and you checking out a rear end. Okay, you done sin. Okay, let's go to the sisters. Okay, he walked up to you and you looking at his crotch. Oh, God. Yeah. You done sin. Okay, you looking at his muscles. Like, oh, child, girl. booger, you done sin. Jesus said, baby, you ain't got to jump in the bed with him. Or you ain't got to jump in the bed with her. But if you just lust for a moment, amen, you done laid a bed in your heart and got it on. And that alone will do more to you than you do in the actual act. Because when you do the actual act, oh, Jesus Christ, help us, Jesus. When you do the actual act, you just carrying out what's already manifested in your heart. You're already carrying out what has been manifested in your heart. The
the sin in the garden didn't happen when she ate the fruit. The sin happened when she started talking to the serpent. Jesus, the sin did not happen when she took off the fruit. The sin happened when she talked to the serpent. If you take the serpent out the picture, if you take her focus off the serpent and put it back on her husband, then we won't have no transgression. We won't have her. She won't fall. But once her focus got on the serpent, and he knew her focus was on him, or it, rather than her husband, then he could draw her focus away into this tree. He took the attention off of him and put it on sin, the tree. And though God said this tree is not good, he took the focus that she placed on him, and then he shifted it to that which is not good, that God said it is not holy, that God said not to do, not to touch. And once he got her focus on that, it became another level of sin. Jesus said the hearts of man wax colder and colder in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. When the church goes home with Jesus and folk get left behind, that means the Spirit of God will be gone. There will be no access, there will be no more access to the Spirit of God. I'm talking about as far as being in man, because that is for God to identify the bride of Christ. So when the bridegroom comes, Jesus said, he said, it's not his will that any should perish, that all come to repentance. Well, what's the use then if folk left behind, still alive, how are they going to get changed? Well, they're going to be saved by faith and law. They got to have faith in Jesus, and they got to go back and work the law. But now they're going to have to work the law. Why? Why? Because you're not underneath grace no more. You're going to be underneath what? Kingdom. Now when Jesus comes through the eastern gate with the church, now he comes with the church, his bride, and now he sits in that temple, and he comes with the eastern gate. Now people are going to have to bring offerings to Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. End time. Look at your neighbor and say, end time teaching. Okay. Okay. That's all in the book of Ezekiel, Revelation, Daniel. We ain't got time in the schedule. Listen, stick with us, amen. You'll get there. So, okay, watch this. Watch this. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to teach about, I think it's in Matthew chapter 23, 24, where Jesus said he's going to judge the nations. He's going to judge the nations. Okay? But Jesus is going to be on the throne of David. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. He's going to reign. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. And you're going to bring offerings and sacrifice unto Jesus. This is that millennial temple that is built in the book of Ezekiel. It's called the millennial temple, the layout of the temple. And that glory is going to come through the eastern gate. And, okay, well, why is it going to be a temple built? Who's going to bring the offering? What the offering for? It's going to be for folk who left behind to work your faith out. Now, when the Bibles are left behind, the book of James, the book of St. James, all this stuff you see in the book of St. James, go to St. James for a minute. Teach Holy Ghost. Now the book of James become a tribulation book. Oh, God. Now the book of James become a tribulation book. Watch this. Loko Rabashanda. When he said that in chapter 2, verse 18, yea, a man that has faith and I have works, show me that faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou believest God does his will. The devils also believe and tremble. So why is it? Now, when the Bibles get left behind, and the bride of Christ is going to be in heaven, going to heaven, now the book of James take on a different meaning. He said, yeah, you believe it, that's good, you done well. Well, the devil believe and tremble. Now it becomes different, a different revelation, a different understanding. He said, you should show your faith by what? I show you my faith by my words. Okay? You're going to have to do exactly that in the tribulation. You're going to have to do exactly that. You're going underneath. See, right now we're saved by faith, right? Okay. Holy Ghost gone. Okay. You got to have faith. But now faith will, faith in, you're going to be under faith in works. Why? because you ain't got no Holy Ghost to establish your righteousness. You're going to have to work your faith out. With faith, under this dispensation, you just believe. You get left behind, baby, you have to believe and work it out because you just can't rest no more. Oh, Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. That's been the lamb for this segment of the Lamb of God, my God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. See how God, see, that's why we get into the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And you see how a couple of scriptures opened up all of that. See, that's the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And you see how God started us off in the blueprint of the kingdom in the book of Matthew in the chapter 16, and then it shifted us into the law. Then it took us to Galatians, Romans, all of that, Corinthians chapter 13. Then it shifted us back from the law and then took it there smack deeper into the kingdom to give us an understanding. This episode is available for free download on the website of blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you desire any questions, amen, as we get ready to pray out, if you have any questions concerning the kingdom, the law, things of that nature, amen, you can call in at 347-945-5416. We'll be here for a few more minutes, amen, before we go off the air, taking your questions, amen, concerning the kingdom, the mysteries, amen, anything biblically, amen. I prefer to stay on the lines of the teaching, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, but some folk, amen, they need to learn Bible, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. But 347-945-5416, and press 1, and that will put you into the sanctuary, amen, with me, amen. We'll patch you through, amen. We can take your questions, amen, in a short, timely fashion because we want to get to everybody in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. But if you need a copy of this segment, you go to the website of blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, amen. Nathan on the Spot brought to you by Interpraisement Media Group, amen, EMG Radio, which is a division of Shofars of Glory Ministries, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for this teaching, God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We bless you, God, for this revelation, God. We thank you, God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, for everything that you released on here, God, concerning the mandate, your kingdom, Lord God, the assignment, Lord God. Lord God, refresh me, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your glory overshadow me, God, and I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, pour out your divine wind, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Surround me with the fire of your angels, God, of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, quicken the listeners, Lord God, online via cell phones, Lord God. Quicken them, Lord God, at the sound of my voice, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for your apostolic and prophetic wind, God. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord God, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the work that you've done on here today, God, how you engrafted the word of God, Lord God, in people's hearts, God, that they may grow thereof, God. We thank you for the whole Lamb of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord God, keep us, Lord God, in these end times, God, and set the course of the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, amen, hallelujah. If you have any questions, amen, now is the time, amen. You push 1, amen, to step in. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in the Word of God concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. We're going to be back on here. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to try for us to be back here on Sunday. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Loko Rabashata. Stay tuned. Amen. For the times. Amen. To be announced in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you're online, on your cell phone and you're on the lines, amen, at the station, amen, you can push 1 if you have any questions concerning this teaching, amen. Folks don't do that no more. They don't ask you if you got any questions concerning the Bible, amen, because they don't know the answer themselves, amen. But I don't know nothing. God knows all things, amen. Hallelujah. I'm just a messenger in the name of Jesus Christ. But I guess there ain't no callers.
Amen, Prophet. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. You have a caller waiting. Amen. I'm going to patch them through. Amen. You're on. Amen. You can state your question. Amen.
Amen. This is Prophet Yahushua. Amen. You're now in the sanctuary.
Amen. I can't hear our caller if there's one on. I don't know, maybe they...
Amen. The caller is on. I don't know if they have their phone on mute. Amen.
Well, caller, if you're listening, you may have your phone on mute. Amen. If we can't hear you, amen, we're going to have to go to the next caller.
If they're responding to me, I've already just responded, so she can move on to the person with the question if it's me holding the line up.
Well, we can hear you now, amen. You got a question?
No, I wasn't the one with the question. I was the one just praising God for the word and saying it was powerful. So if somebody did press in with a question, it wasn't me.
Okay, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening on the broadcast. If you need a copy of this broadcast, make sure you go to the website and download it. Amen. It's for free. Amen. 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 Is there anybody else, amen, out there? Amen. If you got any questions, amen, concerning, amen, what was taught or anything pertaining to the Bible, in the name of Jesus Christ, now is the time, amen, before we go off the air. Amen. Well, amen, I'm assuming, amen, all hearts and mind are settled in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank God for you. We thank God for everybody who has tuned in to the Lamb of God broadcast. Make sure you go and see the website. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, amen, and stay connected to the ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and let us know what town or city that you're in, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen, and definitely share your comments, your posts, on how this ministry has blessed you in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, amen. I guess that's our time for today. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we love you. 5 a.m. prayer. Join us, amen, for the 5 a.m. prayer. Well, in travail, the glory of God. Amen. Well, God releases a word for you today in the name of Jesus Christ. People have gotten healed on this line. Amen. People have gotten money miracles, healing. It's been crazy on that line. That line. We've had that line for a long time, amen. Many have come and gone, but, amen, we're still here in the name of Jesus Christ. So definitely, amen, feel free to join us 5 a.m., amen, with the people of God, the remnant of God, amen. Shofars of glory, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. On behalf of myself, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, I greet you this day. Shalom, Bakatov, and Yeshua HaMashiach. Bye-bye. This is the Lamb of God, the Lamb.